you are a guest with us, my name is Dave. I'm the lead pastor here. And I just want to say welcome. I am so glad that you're here. You could be a lot of different places, but you're here with us. And if you're looking for a church home, can I just be the first one to say welcome home? Love this church. I love you people. Best place to be ever, especially on a Sunday morning, I think. But we're just excited to be here. Next week is the big day, right? The Cats-Grizz game. Where is it at this year? It's in Bozeman. So all the Cats fans are going to be gone. And the Grizz fans will be here. Yeah. See, everybody keeps asking me, are you a Cat fan or a Grizz fan? And I'm like, I'm a Wolverines fan. And it's like, you know, I keep looking for those shirts, that the House Divided shirt, because for two reasons. One is I like both because they're Montana colleges. But two is I want to keep my job and I can't side with one or the other. So yes, I'm looking for one of those or a flag or something that I can hang. So it's like I got my bases covered. How many are Cats fans? Raise your hand. Yeah. How many are Grizz fans? Raise your hand. Got more pride on the Grizz side, but the numbers are on the other side. Oh, man. Go Montana. Yeah. State, as in the whole 406. How's that? There we go. Oh, man, I'm a 406 fan. I'm a Wolverines fan by heart. And they're 10-0 as of yesterday. But so is the Buckeyes since 75. Stop rubbing it in. But no, it's been good. There's some good college football, and this has nothing to do with my message. So this has to do with being thankful for things this week. Oh, man, it's been good. So we've been in this middle of this series. We're winding it down this week and next week of the storyteller. And we have walked through all the parables, or at least a big portion of the parables of Jesus. And have you guys enjoyed it? Has it been challenging? Have you learned and grown any? Or is it just me? I guess it's just me, John. Well, at least the pastor's growing. Right on. So, yeah, we've been walking through. And a parable, if you don't know, is an earthly story or illustration to convey spiritual truth. And, you know, it's enlightening as I was studying this week and I was looking at some theologians' comments about parables. And they made a comment that early parables were about conveying that earthly understanding of spiritual things for everybody. But then as he progressed through his ministry, it began that those parables were for those that were actually listening, and it started separating like the wheat from the chaff type of thing, right? Where those, the religious leaders and those that thought they had it all together they weren't understanding. And that was on purpose for Jesus. And it's really interesting. And this is one of those parables in Mark chapter 4 that is one of those things that Jesus starts really, telling stories that are confusing for some, but the ones that are tuned in and listening and really wanting to engage with Jesus were getting. Others weren't. And so let's dive into this parable, the farmer and the seed. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. While you're turning there, let me ask this question. Why is it that some people embrace that Christ died for their sins on a cross and it sticks with them, and others it doesn't? Because we've been told, right, that the gospel is what? The good news, right? We all like good news. Why is it that some people grab a hold of it and others don't? You ever think about that? I think about that stuff. You know, that these people know that he's risen from the dead, and he's alive, and he's alive in their life, and he's changing them, and they're not perfect by any means, but they're in the right direction. They're progressing, right? That's all of us. We're progressing. We're hearing him, following him, loving him, serving him. But then there's some of our friends and family. They say that they've submitted to Christ. They say that they love him above all, but they don't obey his word, and they don't obey him. You ever wonder why that is? Anybody else? Just me? Okay. I'm a solo guy this week. Okay. Even a few have rejected Christ outright, but some still claim to have to be his child, but rarely go to church. And I didn't look at you, Rock. I'm sorry. Like, they barely go to church, and Rock's like, he's here. It's funny because people, you got to get this. It's so funny when you're I have to look above everybody, because if I'm making a point and I happen to make eye contact, everybody panics. They say, who? Why'd you look at me? Except for the Rock. Right? It's remarkable. So if I look at you, it's not personal. I don't know things about you that God's showing me or anything. Okay? There's no judgment. I'm just making eye contact. Okay? I'm just going to look at Phil. Right here, pal. That's right. Right? But they don't go to church. They're living in continual unrepented sin, openly displaying the commands of Scripture or disobeying the commands of Scripture. They're giving lip service to Jesus. He's going to come preach with me. It's okay, Jake. His bouncy ball. Everybody look for his bouncy ball. He's got it. Good. There it is. We got you covered, little man. Right? But they're giving lip service to Jesus, but it's obviously that their hearts aren't with him and for him. They don't hear, they don't follow, they don't love and serve Jesus. We all know people like that, right? Why is it? If this is such the good news, why is it that that happens? Did anybody ever think about this stuff? I think about this stuff all the time. Mark chapter 4 tells us why there are different responses to the gospel. So let's take a look at it. You ready? If you're ready, say, uh-huh. I'm reading now the New Living Translation, verses 1 through 9. It says, once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat a while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen. Everybody say, listen. A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon withered under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants so that they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, good soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. And all the farmers are like, wish that would have been this year. Huh? Yeah. Then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. The crazy thing about this would be, I labored with this message this week because it's like there's you can go this way and you can go this way and you can go this way, and it's like, okay, I'm going to go this way, and then you feel the Lord go, no, go this way. So I start going that way, and then it's like, and then it's like, okay, and then it's like, oh my gosh, there's so much to this. So I'm just going to say this, that there is a lot of meat in this passage of Scripture that we're getting just a sliver of. Okay, you good with that? All right, and I'm going to be probably doing a little bit more of the teaching style than preaching, so to speak. But, So the soil, each soil represents a different kind of person. Okay? Let's call them friends. Can we call them friends? We all like friends. All right? The first one is a hard friend. Right? Mark 4:15 says, the seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. These type of friends are numb to the Word of God. Okay? They don't understand it. They're numb to the things of God. They hear the Word and it has no effect in their life. Right? This would represent a non-Christian or a professing Christian who is bound by sin and bound by the things of the world. Following me? Okay? What do they need? What do they need? Well, they need a water boy Christian friend. Water boy. Water. Gatorade's horrible. Water. Anybody ever see Water Boy? Okay, they need a water boy friend. Their heart is hard and dry and thirsty. Paul refers to three friends in Corinthians, and he says this, I am very glad that Stephananus, Fortunatus, and Archaicus, and I probably butchered all of those, he was thankful for them. Why? In 1 Corinthians 16:8, for they refreshed my spirit and yours also. We all need these kinds of people in our life that refresh our spirit, right? You got those people that, man, when you're just around them, you just like, you just feel good. You're refreshed. Everything's good in the universe, right? Those kinds of friends. We need those kinds of friends in our lives. And this type of person, the hard friends, they need them, right? Jesus said in John 12:14, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It's because it becomes a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Hard friends need people. They need a slow drip. I'm thinking garden stuff. You know those little drip lines that you put in things and it just drips water? That's what these type of people need. They need a slow drip line of love, of water from Christ-following people in their lives. This constant, so that hard soil begins to soften, right? Now, I'll say this right off the bat. The Bible does say that no one comes unto the Father except by the Holy Spirit that draws them, right? So the Holy Spirit is the one that does this. But He has called each of us to nurture people, to come alongside people, to love people, right? And so this is what they need. They need this slow drip of unconditional love. Okay, this is probably the most crucial area that we demonstrate the character and the attributes of God. At least we should be, right? The water of you showing Christ-like love to them, it starts to soften that. So they need a judge-free zone. Let me say that again. They need a judge-free zone. That's what I love about New Life, is as a whole, there's not a lot of judgmental spirit here. And I love that about, that's the way church, the Church of Christ should be. Right? Non-judgmental. Because all of us need the same amount of grace that everybody else needs. And so I love that about us. Right? This is crucial. Right? Jesus' message in John chapter 12 verse 47, it says, I have come to save the world and not to judge it. Will you love me the way that I am, these people are saying. Will you love me the way that I am? Right? That's the piece that it is. At this stage of their life, they don't need correction. Because any correction that you give will be taken as condemnation. You follow me? This is not a time to point out their sin. Okay? It's just not. I think where the church has missed it is that we have assumed that every person has good soil. And they don't. There's not everybody has good soil in their heart. They're ready to hear the good news and they're ready to accept it. Not everybody's there. You following me? They need a friend that cares. When I first got into youth ministry, it was my very first internship, and I was in Nez Perce, Idaho. I don't expect you to know where that's at. It's a town of 450 people. I grew up in the city all my life. So when I went there, it was like, oh my goodness, what are you doing? 450 people. There was more people in my graduating class of high school than there was in this entire town. And I had no idea. And I remember calling up one of my dear friends that had been in youth ministry a long time. And I said, what do I do? And he goes, and this statement sticks with me ever today. I tell Aiden this all the time. I tell Callie this all the time. Is this. They don't care what you know until they know that you care. Period, point blank. Nobody cares if you've got 3 master's degrees and a doctorate, or if you've been farming since you were 6 years old, or you're a whatever. You fill in the blank. They don't know. They don't care if you what you know until they know that you care. Such a powerful, powerful quote stuck with me for 20 plus years. Praying for them, asking the Holy Spirit to soften their heart and to draw them unto Himself. Right? Number 2, rocky friends. Mark 4:16-17, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. I would say that this is the baby Christian, right? That doesn't get planted. Now here's the thing. How many have ever been to like a big Christian crusade, like Billy Graham or any of those? They're awesome, right? I love it because they're spreading the gospel. But here's the thing that I have a beef with these kinds of things, is they accept Christ, but then there's no next step, right? And so that's these people right here. They accept Jesus, and it's like, oh my gosh, I got delivered from this, and my sins are forgiven. Now what? They're not planted into a church body where they can develop roots, right? That's this. They're baby Christians. They're shallow, grounded, no roots yet, overwhelmed with problems, habits, and addictions. They might even have the misconception of, since they've got their sins forgiven, my life should be perfect. Anybody got a perfect life in here? God just showed me something. No. Just kidding. Oh, Roger, I love you, man. I love you. Oh, I got to tell you, here's another thing. This is a side note. When we were, that was youth ministry, early in my youth ministry. It's like, you live in a small town, you know everything that goes on, right? And a youth pastor, it's like, you know that, you know, some of your kids went to this party and they did some stupid thing here and they did this. And I got in this habit, and I had to repent for it because it was lying. But it was funny because I'd be like, hey, how was your weekend? It was good. Why? Did you have fun at so-and-so's party? What? How'd you know? Oh, God showed me things in dreams. And there was one young man every time. It was just like, and he just told on himself all the time. I knew nothing. Hey, what happened this weekend? What did God show you, Pastor? It'd be better if you just confess. Yeah. But then God started convicting me. Dave, that's not truthful. So I quit. But it was fun while it lasted. Okay? Oh, man. See, I'm not perfect. I'm still in the right direction, though. But they get overwhelmed with problems and habits and maybe even addictions. They want to live for God, but don't have any spiritual stamina yet, right? Maybe they haven't. Maybe they accepted Jesus at a concert but they haven't connected to the church to start being able to grow deeper roots. Picking up what I'm throwing down? Okay, so what do they need? Well, they need parachute friends, right? Parachute friends. What I mean by that is when they fall, you're there to support them and help pull the ripcord so they don't crash flat out. That makes sense? Okay. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 says, Paul says, dear brothers and sisters, if another brother or another believer, is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. They need a support system, right? We all need a support system because life sometimes just punches us in the throat and it's hard. And that's what the body, that's what I love about the body of Christ. Is that what we're supposed to be? Is a support system. Right? That's why I am such a big fan of life groups. Here's a plug. Right? We still got some room for life groups. This is what that's supposed to be. You're growing together in your faith. You're holding one another up. You're loving one another and with unconditional love. It completes it. Picking up what I'm throwing down? All right. Say, uh-huh. Okay, they need someone who believes in them and won't judge them when they make a mistake. I don't know about you, but I hate it when people are all, you screwed up. It's like, yeah, I don't tell you. I don't need you to tell me that. Right? We got to be there, right? We don't shoot our wounded. Okay? We don't shoot. This should even be a thing. But can I get on my soapbox for just 1 second? Growing up in the church, one of the biggest turnoffs for me was seeing churches shoot their own wounded. They didn't come alongside, love them, nurture them back to health. They just, you're a heathen and a sinner. Get out. And then what happens? They're hurt. They're wounded, right? What do hurt and wounded people do? Hurt people hurt people. So you got churches all over the place with hurt people hurting other people. What's wrong with this picture? Right? That dog don't hunt. That's not what it's supposed to be about. Right? That isn't what Jesus came to do. That isn't what Jesus is encouraging us to do. That isn't what Paul is telling us to do in the epistles. He's saying we got to love them. When they mess up, you come alongside and say, hey, we got this. You got this. Come on. We ain't shooting our wounded. We're going to love them. Right? Because each one of us have been there. This place should be a hospital for the sick, not a moratorium for the saints. Right on. That's good preaching, Pastor. Thank you. Right? I appreciate it. Paul just told us in Galatians 6, 1 and 2. I'm going to finish this tantrum up here in a minute. Dear brothers and sisters, if any believer is overcome by sin, you who are what? Godly should gently and humbly help that person back on the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens and in this way obey the law of Christ. We love them back to the path of Christ. Got it? Paul says in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow Him. Let your roots grow down into Him and let your lives be built on Him. Then what's that word? Then. Everybody say then. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught and you will overflow with thankfulness. Are we all thankful? Number 3, weed friends. Weed friends. And not talking about friends that go smoking doobies. I'm not talking about that. Okay? These are weeds and scriptural. Okay? Stay with me. I could just hear it. Mark chapter 4, 18-19 says, the seed that fell among the thorns represent others who hear God's word, but all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the worries of life, the lure of wealth, and the desire of other things, so no fruit is produced. So what he's saying is, they get distracted by the cares and by the worries and by the pleasures of life, of the world. Pretty simple, right? These weeds or the cares of life overtake and choke the word out. Right? Weed friends, weed habits, weed TV, weed gossip, weed places, weed hobbies, weed of money, weed of things, maybe even the weed of weed. I don't know. That crowds and chokes out the word of God. Okay? That's what this is all about. So what do they need? Okay? Well, before we get to there, Paul says in 1 Timothy 6, 9 through 10, the people who long to be rich fall into what? Temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Okay? He's talking about Christians being choked out by the things of life. Okay? What do they need? They need exterminator friends. Right? Not the Terminator. Exterminator friends. Okay? Roundup. Yeah. So we can get in the lawsuit of all the people that are dying from cancer of Roundup. That's a horrible thing. Okay? These are friends that speak truth to them in love. That's the big thing right there. In love. Right? It's easy to speak truth to people. Right? I used to be really good at this. Ask my wife. Somebody come up and it's like they're doing something dumb and be like, Aiden, stop being stupid. I spoke the truth. Right? But how much love is in that? None. 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 We got to speak the truth in love, tempered in love. Right? And maybe you don't have that gift, and so maybe it shouldn't be you that speaks the truth to that person. Just say it. Okay? So let me explain it this way. You remember when you were kids and you thought that dandelions were your mom's favorite flower? Anybody remember that? Oh my gosh, I used to go out and there's a field next to our house and the dandelions were thick, and I would come and I would bring bouquets of dandelions to my mom. My mom was a florist. So I thought I was speaking her love language. Not so much. And now that I am an owner of property and I have a yard and dandelions are like the bane of my existence. And it's like, oh my gosh, right? You discover that the ravenous reproducing of this weed will take over your yard in like a week. I look at my one neighbor and his really immaculate yard, and my other neighbor, not so much. And then I see the dandelions go to the white poofy things, trying to get a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old to not grab the little poofy things and go, pfft. That's a full-time job, right? Sometimes we need people in our lives, mentors, life coaches, best friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, spouse, whoever, to help point out the things that we don't see. Right? Proverbs 27:6 says, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. These are weed friends. They need, these type of friends need accountability and someone to keep them focused, someone to keep pointing them back to the Word, someone to keep pointing them back to Jesus, somebody to keep keeping them right here, because what happens is they get distracted by the things of life and the circumstances that aren't working out in their favor or whatever the situation is. And we all need these people in our life to help us get focused on where we're supposed to be. You picking up what I'm throwing down? 1 Thessalonians 5:14, brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. That doesn't seem loving to me. Does it? It is. I promise. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. They need encouragement. These people need encouragement. You can do this, right? They need people to come alongside and help them be focused and help keep pointing them in the right direction. Paul says in Romans 12:15, be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Right? We need to be focused. We need to be able to read the room. We need to be able to read situations. When somebody is struggling, we should be the first one to come up alongside and say, man, I see that you're struggling. What can I do? What can I do to help you? What can I do to... right? Not, God, you're stupid. Why don't you figure this out? That don't help. Right? I've had people do that in my life. You should know better than that. Really? Probably, but I'm not getting it. So stop punching me in the face and just love me. Right? We need those people in our lives. And then we go to number 4, the good friends. Mark 4:20, and the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as they had planted. These are life-giving, fruit-producing, and great people to be around. We all, do anybody have, you know these kind of people? These are the ones that everyone wants to be around. Right? And we talked, was it last week that we talked about, trees and fruit and we as Christ followers should be doing what? Producing fruit. Good fruit, right? There's a difference between bad fruit and good fruit, right? We should be producing fruit. We all need good friends. So I have this question pop up into my head this week. What is the purpose of fruit in our lives? Keep us full? Somebody say that? Okay. Healthy? To nourish you? Anything else? Energy? Okay. But what is the purpose? Is that just for me? Is the fruit just for me? Am I bearing fruit just to hoard it? We're supposed to be sharing fruit, right? The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, right? That's the good fruit that should be coming out of us as Christ followers, right? You with me? So, it's to share. It can't all be for us. We should be feeding our friends good fruit coming out of our lives. Picking up what I'm throwing down? Okay, that's that peace, right? When you leave here and Monday morning you're there, you should be pouring yourself out with people. Feeding good fruit. The good fruit out of your life should be blessing other people. Sharing other people. Boom, boom, boom. And then your quiet times are feeding you again. Coming to church is replenishing you again. Then you go back out and you pour it out again. You come back in, you get refilled. Does that make sense? It's to be shared. So what do they need? They need people to lead and feed them. Hebrews 13:6. And don't you know to do good and to share with those in need? These are the sacrifices that please God. Oh, doesn't that just make you feel all warm and fuzzy inside? To please God. God has made us fruitful so it can be shared, not stored. Turn to your neighbor and say, shared, not stored. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:1 that we should imitate, says, and you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Okay? We are to be a reflection of Jesus. Okay? We need to be doing that. How many of you ever had fruit go bad before you had a chance to even eat it? That just happens. We have a fridge downstairs and a fridge upstairs, and we go once a month and load up, and then we forget about fruit and vegetables downstairs. And you go down there and open the door and it goes, hey, how you doing? It freaks you out. It's like, whoo! Right? As funny as that is, I believe that there are Christians that their fruit is dying on the vine. They're not sharing. They're storing it up, but it's going rotten. Right? And it's saying, how you doing? You don't ever want to know what goes on in my brain. Right? They're not sharing their fruit. And here's a kingdom mistake. You ready to hear a kingdom mistake? That all the good soil people, the mature people, wanting to just hang out with other mature, good soil people. If my four, no more, right? That's what happens. That tends to happen, and it's not supposed to be that way. That isn't where Jesus, He didn't create this elite group of only special people to come to New Life Fellowship Church and get fat on the Word of God and then not do anything with it. He calls us to lead and feed other people, pointing them to Jesus, coming alongside of them and loving them and caring for them and sharing the fruit, not just storing it up. It was meant to be shared. Check this out. Proverbs 11:24-25. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy and lose everything. The generous will prosper. those who refresh others will then themselves be refreshed. 2 Corinthians 9, 9-11. As the scripture says, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. What is he saying right there? We are blessed so we can bless others. That's it right there, right? Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. There is joy when you can share what you have learned to help other people's grow. Other people's. Good English again. Right? Here's the thing that Charity and I years ago figured this out. Sometimes, I don't even think sometimes, I think it's a pretty across the board. When we go through hard times, it isn't just to shape us, right? It's so when we come through that on the other side, we can use what we learned to help others come through that same thing. How many ever felt like, man, this situation, this circumstance I'm going through, I wonder if anybody else has ever gone through this. Anybody ever feel that way? Yes. And when we have gone through it successfully, or maybe we didn't come through it successfully, and we can say, you know, I see that you're going through that, and I went through that a few years back, and this is what I did, and it was not the answer. Can I just encourage you not to make that mistake? And I don't necessarily have the answer for you, but I'm going to come alongside you, and we'll walk through it together. Right? What was that just doing? Leading in, feeding. These are the things. We don't just go through certain situations just to prove something to us or for us to learn. What we learn, we're supposed to give back out. Okay? Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in Him. The Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came and told His disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what do we need to grow? We're at this spot now. What do we need to grow in this? What do we need to grow? First thing we need is a tender heart. Everybody say tender heart.
Tender heart.
Hosea 10:12 said, I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest the crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now it is time to seek the Lord that He may come and shower righteousness upon you. Jeremiah 4:3, second half of that verse, says, plow up the hard ground of your hearts. Do not waste your good seed among thorns. You gotta have a tender heart. We gotta allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in us. If you're in here today, and you've got a hard heart, two things. One, let God begin to tenderize that heart, give you a new heart. King David says, create in me a new heart, O God. That was his cry after he committed an egregious sin. Create in me a clean heart. Show me the wickedness in me so I can deal with it. Soft heart, tender heart. Okay? And then the seed of God, number two, the seed of God's Word to be planted. What causes a seed to grow? Water. Sun. We need exposure to the sun. S-O-N. See what I did there? That was pretty. We need exposure to the sun. That's number three. He says, I am the light of the world. Listen, you can't grow if you're never in His presence. You can't. It is impossible for you to grow spiritually if you're not in His presence. If you're not in His presence. Right? Well, I don't ever hear God. Then you're not in the Bible. This is His spoken word to us. Right? Coming to a place like this and just saying, singing the songs of praise. They're designed to help us scrape off the goo of the week and say, God, here I am. Speak to me. Transform me. I'm here to praise your name because you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of my praise. And I'm here to praise you. We sing. We are in his presence. I don't know about you, but I could feel his presence here this morning in a singing. I am not a good singer. And there'll be a lot of times that I'll just sit and I'll just listen to you all sing. And there's nothing more pleasurable for my heart than to hear you guys lifting up praise to Jesus. I can only imagine, and not the song, but I can only imagine what God feels when he hears his children praising his name for the right reasons. But there's some of us that come in here and we're like, and some of you are Scandinavian, I get it. I get it. Right? I came from Libby where everybody's Scandinavian and they don't clap. They don't, it's like, I don't know if you ever seen the movie Man of the House. Anybody see that with Tommy Lee Jones? And there he's an FBI agent and he's undercover protecting some cheerleaders at Texas Longhorns. And there's assistant cheer coach is going, put on your happy face. And he goes, this is my happy face. I get it. Some of you have that kind of a happy face. I get it. But there's nothing, nothing like being in the presence of God. Nothing. Number four, the Holy Spirit's living water. John 3:7-39 says, anyone who believes in me may come and drink. From the scriptures declares, rivers of living water will flow from his heart. When he said living water, he was speaking of the Spirit of God who would be given to every believer in him, but the Spirit had not yet been given because Jesus had not entered into his glory yet. And number five, fertilizer from our troubled problems. James 1:2-4 says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, the key word there, two words actually, any kind, come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to what? To grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. The things in life that stink in our life, the things that stink the most can actually cause the most growth. I'm not a farmer or a rancher, but I've been around manure and it stinks. Surely it stinketh. But that's what's needed to grow, right? You got to fertilize your crops, right? Am I wrong? Where are my farmers out? Raise your hand, farmers. You need fertilizer to grow, okay? It stinks, and I don't know about the fertilizer, but I mean, going, getting cow manure and it stinks, right? You guys probably have sprays that doesn't stink as bad. I don't know. It still stinks? Okay, good. So it didn't just kill that analogy. That's perfect. Okay? Speaking of fertilizer, the world, people, events, situations of life are going to take a dump on you. I have no other way of putting it, right? And you can count on this. The world is going to take a dump on you. But it's out of that fertilizer that God can make a wonderful thing grow. Makes your faith grow. Makes your perseverance grow. Okay? You have to decide what you're going to do with it. Are you going to just let it sit there and smell you up? Or are you going to grow? You're going to cultivate it. You got to figure out what you're going to do with it. Number six, faith. You need faith to believe that that's going to happen, that there is going to be growth on the other side. There's going to be a better time. 1 Corinthians 3:6-9 says, I planted the seed in your hearts and Apollos watered it, and it was God who made it grow. It's not important who does the planting or who does the watering. What's important is that God makes the seed grow. The one who plants and the one who waters work together in the same purpose. and both will be rewarded for their own hard work. But for we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. So when we are sharing our fruit, when we are loving people, when we are becoming that parachute friend or that good friend or that whatever, it's we're planting seeds. And then somebody else is watering that seed. But God's the one that causes the growth. But here's the thing that we got to get this morning is you can sabotage that growth. Did you know that? He's not going to force you to grow. He's going to bring situations your way. You're going to fall in through life. And the crazy thing is, He never promised you a perfect life. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But He never promised that it's going to be all unicorns and rainbows. And it's the hard times that produces good things in our life. If we choose to see it that way. Right? You can have the Eeyore syndrome of, oh bother, my life sucks, it's horrible, nobody loves me, oh, my tail's not on right. Whatever the situation is, and there's not going to be a lot of growth there. You hearing me? We've got to choose to take the fertilizer of life and allow God to do by faith what He's promised to do. Picking up what I'm throwing down? If you are, say, uh-huh. So let me wrap this up this morning. We're going to move into communion here in a minute. I'm going to invite worship team back up. Jim, I think you're going to be helping with serving, I think. Is that right? No, he's got it. Okay, I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to stay in my lane. All right, so let me encourage you this morning through this story of the farmer and the seed. Can I encourage us to not be complacent and allow God to grow you? And you have a part in this too, right? Your part is you have got to do what it takes to grow. Growth doesn't come by osmosis. Growth comes by you being in the Word of God on a regular basis, by being in life groups and allowing other people to challenge you and sharpen you. That's another plug for life groups. I'm a firm believer in it. But you've got to position yourself to grow. Right? You can sit here and go, make me grow, God. It's not going to happen. Right? Hi, Carrie. Your timing is impeccable. So grow to the next level. Don't just be content with status quo in your life. Be intentional about who you do life with. Right? Talking about, don't just surround yourself with strong believers, but you need them in your life, right? But you need somebody else to lead and feed, right? Somebody that maybe is a baby Christian, maybe somebody that God has brought across your path that doesn't know Jesus, and He's saying, plant a seed, right? Be intentional with how you live. Be intentional of who you do life with. Does that make sense? Be intentional. And the last thing I want to encourage you with is bring others on the journey with you. How boring would life be if you had to do it all by yourself? You really probably wouldn't get very far in life if you didn't have people along the journey with you. I'm a firm believer that you need three people, types of people in your life. You need a Timothy, you need a Paul, and you need a Barnabas. Paul is a mentor, somebody that is good soil, right? And they're sharing their fruit, and they're investing in you, and they're helping you grow into who God has you to be. A Timothy is that you're doing that to them. And then a Barnabas is somebody that just encourages, they're a cheerleader, right? You can do this, come on. An encourager. You need those kinds of people in your life. Every one of us need them. Every one of us need them. So can I encourage you with that this morning? And as we move into communion, I'm going to ask those that are going to serve to come forward. We have open communion here at New Life, and what that means is If you have made a decision to follow Christ and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior in your life, you are welcome to participate in communion. Okay, I only ask that after you are served that you hold on to the emblem so we can take it together as a family. You cool with that? 1 Corinthians 11, 27-28 says, "So then, whoever eats of the bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord Jesus." That's why I made that statement of anybody that is a child of Jesus, a child of God, can partake of it. But everybody ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And so as you're being served, I would just encourage you. Say, "God, examine my heart." The prayer of David, right? "Search my heart, O God, and if there's any wickedness, point it out." And then 1 John 1:9 says, "If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive them and to cleanse you." We want to partake of communion with a clean heart. Right?